They've been called. And so have you. But we're going to read from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. So hear now the word of God. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Lord, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In fairness to Jeff, it sort of feels like we just left here, doesn't it?
I just read Isaiah.
You just read Isaiah. And yesterday in the service, he did read a text from Isaiah. We should preach from that sometimes. That's a great text, and we just about always only use it for funerals. So maybe you were speaking the voice of God to us this morning. You can preach from Isaiah.
Fair enough.
Do you ever make excuses? What are some of your favorite excuses? Say that again.
I'm too busy.
A dog hates. You can always tell a student. I'm going to bring you a shirt because Kevin is just beginning to work on his CPE licensing. Is that right? Registration, certification. So he's been in school forever. I'm going to bring him my sweatshirt and let him wear it. It says, "The truly educated never graduate." The best excuse I ever heard was two little boys. It's a true story. They're Don Martin's son, Don Martin at Alpharetta, Taylor and Aaron. Taylor was the oldest. And they were fighting, I mean, smacking each other and rolling around in the floor. And Don came in and said, like most parents, did your parents ever say this? Him. That means stop. We said that at our house, and now I hear our boys saying that to their own children. And he said to them, "What is going on here?" And Taylor stood up sobbing, just sobbing, and looked at his dad, his fist balled up beside him, and he said, "It all started when he hit me back." Now, that's a good excuse right there, if ever I've heard one. That's a good excuse. Jeremiah began his ministry in King Hosea's reign around 1626, and it was right at the end of a major revival. You have to know, in any world religion, and particularly in the Judeo-Christian religion, we hiccup every so often and things make a shift, or we revive ourselves and there's a comeback in a certain area. Happens in preaching. There's a hiccup about every 50 years, and we change our style. We begin to do a different style. Now the big thing is preachers that won't use a manuscript. You got to learn to preach without a manuscript. Well, I've been preaching 25 years, and I still have a manuscript, and I think responsible preaching calls for that. Now, that manuscript may not be word for word. It may be a heavy outline. It may just show transitions, or it may just show quotes so that you quote them right. But I'm going to have a piece of paper in my hand when I come to the pulpit. Now, those who can have great memory and not have to do that, God bless them. And I hope it works for them, and I think it does. There's some really good preachers coming along in the Methodist Church. But these hiccups happen. And so there was a hiccup right around 626 and a major revival. Now, what was going on was that the Babylonians were taken over, and there were those people in the Judeo, then Jewish, Hebrew nation who wanted to support the Babylonians and give in to them, and there were others who wanted to go to the Assyrian side and try to prop it up. Jeremiah was caught in the middle of that. And his call was like almost everyone else's in the Bible and since that time. It goes in steps. God's initiating. God's calling. God's talking to you. God's word to you. God pulling at you. God courting you. And then our objection comes next. But I'm too young. But I'm too old. But I'm too busy. You with me? Or sometimes some of us said, are you crazy? And then the next step is God's non-acceptance of that excuse. He'll undo that. Moses said, but I can't speak. And God said, I'll send your brother Aaron with you. He'll help you out. You see? He'll cover every excuse that we have. He'll cover. And then God's reassurance, I'm with you. I will always be with you. I'll give you the words to say. In Isaiah, he touched Isaiah's mouth with hot coals, it says, and gave him the words to say. Jeremiah just says he touched his lips. And then God's commissioning. Now, you go. You go. Never did God say a single time, you stay. Get inside the church, close the doors, button down the hatches, and stay. He said, go. Go. God was calling Jeremiah to be a prophet in a dark and troublesome time. And he offered this excuse. Ah, Lord, I'm only a boy. And then God touched his lips, took the excuses away, and Jeremiah became a prophet and tenaciously clung to his assigned task through many, many years of rejection and persecution, and God never left his side. Today, God wants you to understand that a calling to ministry doesn't always, and more often than not, does not mean a call to clergy status. There's a difference in being called and being called to clergy status. I think you're seeing children that come forward for the children's sermon that are someday going to realize that God has his hand on them and they will be called to clergy status. Out of this church, I think there's some young people in the congregation now that are probably being called toward God's clergy status. I think some of you may have been or are being called to clergy status. But most people are just called to ministry. It doesn't have to be clergy, but it has to be service. All of us, every single one of us, bar none, are called to be in service to God in some way or another. I considered my nursing a call to ministry. Was not traditional ministry. That came later. But it was ministry, I promise you. Those people who were in service professions, doctors, lawyers, yes, I said lawyers, that's true, lawyers, firefighters, policemen, people that are called to low salaries and long hours need to consider that a calling. But also, you're being called. You're being called to ministry, to teach Sunday school, to serve on boards, to serve on committees, to play piano, to sing in the choir, to keep the nursery, to do 1,000 other things, to work with youth, to cook meals, to be hostess, to go out and knock on a neighbor's door. You're being called. You can tell me you're not, and you can make excuses. But you know, and I know, you're being called. And let me tell you, there are no exemptions, there are no exceptions, and it is a lifetime sentence. may not be a lifetime sentence to be on the evangelism committee, but when God calls you away from that, he's going to call you to something else. I'm sorry, I didn't say it. I didn't make those rules. We can all do something to help usher in the kingdom of God, but instead of answering the call on our lives, we make excuses. You want to hear some just about coming to church on a faithful basis? You want to hear some excuses? If this reminds you of the first five, I don't blame you. And choir, if you'll take notes here, you can do this song for the next service.
Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply them if from church you stay away. When people come to worship God, the devil always loses. So to keep those folks away from church, he offers them excuses.
Well, in the summer, it's too hot. In the winter, it's too cold. In the springtime, when the weather's just right, find someplace else to go. Well, it's up to the mountains or down to the beach or to visit some old friend or just stay home and kind of relax and hope some of the kinfolk start dropping in. Well, those church benches, they're too hard, and that song leader's way too loud. Well, you know how nervous you get when you're sitting in a great big crowd. Now, the doctor told you better watch them crowds. They'll set you back. But you go to that old ball game because you say it helps you to relax. Well, a headache Sunday morning and a backache Sunday night, but by work time Monday morning, you're feeling quite all right. Well, one of the children has a cold. Pneumonia, do you suppose? Why, the whole family had to stay home.
Just to blow that poor kid's nose.
Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply them if in church you stay away. When people come to worship God, the devil always loses. So to keep those folks away from church, he offers them excuses.
Well, the preacher, he's too young, or maybe he's too old. His sermons, they're not hard enough, or maybe they're too bold. His voice is much too quiet-like. Sometimes he gets too loud. He needs to have more dignity, or else he's way too proud. His sermons, they're too long, or maybe they're too short. He needs to preach the word with dignity instead of stomp and snort. Why, that preacher we've got must be the world's most stuck-up man. Why, one of the ladies told me the other day,
why, he didn't even shake my hand.
Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply them if in church you stay away. When people come to worship God, the devil always loses. So to keep those folks away from church, he offers them excuses. So to keep those folks away from church, he offers them excuses.
Sound familiar? Yeah? Well, we're not talking about excuses for not coming to church. However, if it fits your foot, just slide your foot on in that shoe. We're talking about excuses for not serving, for not working, for not showing up for work, for not answering God's call on your life, whatever it may be. And that moves us back to a relationship with God. It is interesting that most people commit, but then they don't follow through. I can't tell you how many people say, yes, nominating committee, thank you. Yes, I serve on that committee. And then never make a single meeting all year long. Here's something else that we fail to understand. Our calling, whatever it is a gift. It is a gift from God. Now, don't get me wrong. There are many times that we say no, and it's necessary. And the preacher, whoever the preacher is, doesn't know when you're offering an excuse or when you're offering a reason. Only you and God know that. So don't be afraid to say, no, I'm too busy. Because if that's true and you're already working at something else, I'd rather you say no than commit and not follow through. Or commit and then not do your job. That's no fun for anybody. So if you're working, if you're in service, if you know that God is not leading you in that direction, no is very acceptable. But only then is it acceptable. I don't get it. People want peace in their lives, but they will not comply with the very thing that will give them peace, and that is being connected to God, and nothing standing between you and God. We think our credit cards will save us. It'll buy us out. We wonder if we might not learn a lesson that is so big it cannot be bought. But we use those credit cards. And I'm here to tell you this morning that you can't buy enough, do enough, own enough, or spend enough to make you happy and be at peace. Houses can't be big enough, and our cars can't be shiny enough to make us happy. When we push our kids and our grandkids to be better or best, and they feel our stress as they try to give us what they think we want from them, and as they try to out-accomplish everybody else just so we will be proud, we so often live vicariously through our children. How many times, Ellen, have you heard somebody say, "I always wanted to play piano, but I never had the opportunity, so here, teach my child." Well, that child might want to play drums or nothing at all. We don't get that. We don't look. We want them to have a high self-esteem, but we want them to have it in the areas where we want them to have it. Most of our lives are never enough. They're never enough fun. They're never enough travel. They're never enough adventure. They're never enough having. But all of that stuff, no matter how many gold medals you win, is not enough. It doesn't scratch our itch. It doesn't satisfy our souls. And it seems we just won't learn that it is Christ and Christ alone that gives us peace. It is God and only God that assures us and reassures us that we are His children and that His mercy and His grace and His love is really all we need. And we need to be proactive in loving God back in such a way that He could ask us to go to the other ends of the world and we would be happy to do it because we want to, because He called us to. We will never be comfortable in our own skins unless we recognize that and unless we are willing to make a commitment and then keep it. Fred Craddock tells a story. It's one of my favorite Craddock stories. And by the way, I talked to Don Martin at Alpharetta this morning about 7 o'clock, and he's telling the same story in worship at Alpharetta. It's scary when I catch myself thinking like Don. Fred Craddock says there was a little boy that wanted to play baseball. His name's Jimmy. And Jimmy looked forward to it. He just couldn't get old enough, fast enough to play baseball. He had talked to the coaches and hung around the ball field most of his life. And he knew that God was going to bless him if he could just get to a bat and a ball and a glove and be able to run those bases. He never had a thought that he would strike out because God was with him. He was going to play baseball. Finally, the year came when he was old enough. And it was the first day of practice. When his mother got up that morning, it was raining bullfrogs, just torrential rains, like we had the other night in the storm. Did you see that rain? And she went in and she said, "Jimmy, no practice this afternoon. It's going to rain like this all day." And he said, "Yeah, we'll practice. I know we'll practice." So he went off to school and came home pouring rain. He was soaking wet. He picked up his bat and his ball and his glove, and he threw his glove and his ball in the basket of the bicycle and laid his bat across the handlebars, and his mother trying to talk him. "Nobody's going to be there." She said, "I'll be there. We got practice. We're going to practice." So off he went to the ball field, and he was standing out there throwing the ball up and swinging at it, throwing the ball by himself. The coach lived across the street and saw what was happening, and he put on a raincoat and got an umbrella and went over there. He said, "Jimmy, what in the world are you doing?" He said, "I'm practicing." The coach said, "It is raining bullfrogs. What are you doing here?" And the boy looked at him and said, "I said I'd come." We said we'd come. We said we'd serve. We said we'd be faithful. We need to take a lesson from Jimmy. Amen. Our closing hymn is found on 578. You might want to mark that, but hang on.